Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, we have a very exciting guest on for us today.
Absolutely. We love our great singers, and we have one of them today. This man has been with Metal Church, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and the reason that he's here today is to talk about Between Worlds, which features him. Ronnie Monroe, how are you?
I'm doing well. Appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the time.
Well, we're happy to have you on the show to talk about the project. I mean, it's, you know, I know we've been giving it a listen, and wow, I mean, your voice is amazing, but the music is amazing too, so... You know, let's tell everybody, let's kind of get into the album and how it came about.
Okay. Well, it was about almost probably a year and a half ago that Alessandro Del Vecchio, who's a great musician, producer, engineer, he wears all the hats and he's great at it. And we had never met, but I'd heard of him, of course. And he reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to write some songs to present to Frontiers Records, who he works very closely with. And I said, of course, because I've been a fan of Frontiers for a long, long time. And so basically that's how it started. And he goes, okay, well, how about I send you a couple tunes up front and let's see what you can do. And I like the music, of course, strong songs. And then I went ahead and wrote the lyrics to, well, there was four, and I recorded them in my home studio, sent it over, and his reaction was, well, it was a good one. You know, so he was like, this really, I think this could be something, and let me present this to Frontiers. And within a few days, I heard back from him and said that they were very interested and would like to sign a deal and to do a record. So that's how it all came about, and then he started sending me more songs, and I just kept writing, and the rest is history, you know, will be.
yeah, that's right. just a few days away.
We're in present tense.
Yeah, I mean, September 10th, coming quick, that's for sure. How long, then, has it kind of been in the can, and how long have you been waiting? I'm sure you're super excited to share this with everyone.
Oh yeah, I was chomping at the bit because, you know, there's been a, you know, there was a lull in my career. I had to step back for a few years to, you know, unfortunately some things happened with my, well, my late wife. Mm-hmm. And I had to take care of her, and, you know, it just, that was the number one priority. So, unfortunately, you know, after she passed, well, I should say, fortunately, Alessandra did reach out after that, because that was something that was breathing new life into me. I've always lived for music. And basically, you know, that's, I guess that's it with that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, how hard is it, you know, when you do live for music and it's such a vital part of your life? And but obviously, I mean, your family is so important. How hard is it to kind of remove yourself from that?
Well, it was very difficult, you know, right at the first start of the whole thing. But then I found comfort in that during the times, you know, when she would be sleeping after treatments and things like that, where then I would strum on the acoustic and write down ideas. And so I never ever fully stop writing. And I'm not a great guitar player, but I can strum enough to where I can give it to somebody who does play, and they kind of, they take the ball and roll with it. So I did that, did a few songs during that time. But yeah, I mean, like I said, music's in my blood, just like any other musician. I started at 1 year old banging on pots and pans. I used to have pictures of that my mom would take. And so I knew that I wanted to be in the music industry. And I'm very fortunate now to have the chance to, you know, decide, what is it, LL Cool J, Don't Call It a Comeback. Look, it is my return, you know, in a big way, in my opinion, because like I said, Frontiers is very visible, and working with Alessandro and everybody, and I'll get into that in a minute as well, that has played on this, did a phenomenal job. I mean, I couldn't be happier with it, and I'm really looking forward to it coming out. You know, the response so far has been really good, and that makes me happy.
The we've had a chance to talk a couple times with Alessandro, and he's just such a good guy and so incredibly prolific. If we don't hear a new album from him about once a week, we get worried that he's slowing down.
Yeah, he's got like 36 projects going on. At the same time, but he's great at this. You see, he lives for that. Yeah. And he does that for a living, like we all do as musicians. But I mean, he is he deserves the kudos that he gets and should have more, because, you know, when he first started sending me the material, you know, I was blown away. I was just like, you know, this is not metal church. It's not thrash. You know, there's metal in there, of course. And there's the progressive parts, and then there's some AOR parts. It's kind of a mixed bag, a potpourri, if you will. And it kind of dates back to in the 90s, I was in a band called Far Cry. And we were one of the bands that went by the wayside because of grunge. We had a keyboard player. You know, we had our – it was AOR, even though they didn't coin the phrase AOR back in about that time, I don't think. And so when I heard it, I was like, you know, I did think about it a little bit. I'm kind of like, well, what are the fans going to think that I'm doing this now instead of screaming all the time, which I do a lot of screams on this too, but it's not as gravelly as what I had done in the past. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to do it. This is a good chance for me. And the material was just too good. And then the people that I was able to bring in as well, just said, I put a smile on my face, and I needed that at that time.
That's awesome. You know, that's the thing about Alessandro, is he just has that positive, infectious energy.
Oh, yeah. That guy's everywhere. Oh, the guy's out there doing, you know, I know he's a vegan and a few other things as well. And
runs marathons.
I was just going to say he's trained to run a marathon. I think it was for PETA. I mean, the guy's just constantly active. And I respect that, because we only have one life. And we all need to remember that. We need to live the best that we can while we're here. And he's doing that. So, and I'm starting to do that now, too.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
It's good to be back.
Well, yeah. And it's good to have you back. And I know that, of course, the fan reaction, I mean, certainly from Between Worlds, the video seems to be, you know, super duper positive. And I mean, that must feel wonderful for you.
Oh, it does. I mean, yeah, there's always going to be dislikes and all that, but you know what? That comes along with the territory. You know, and you got sites like Blabbermouth, which is huge, and you got the ones behind the keyboard saying whatever they say. But you know what? At the very beginning, when I first joined Metal Church in 2003, I believe it was, put the first record out, I spent hours, sometimes not even sleeping, because I would read the comments and it would upset me.
Oh, wow.
You know, because I was, you know, Dave was gone. You know, Mike was still around at that time, but didn't want to come back. So that's how I ended up getting the gig, after talking with Vanderhoof about doing it, because I originally was asked to join his solo project, Vanderhoof. And I kept needling him, you know, because, of course, that first record and the second record were two of my favorite records of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to drive around in my car. I had the cassettes, the old Pioneer Super Tuners, and, you know, cranking the stuff up and just screaming my balls off to that, and hope one day that maybe I might get a shot, seeing that they were hometown as well. And that did happen. So, you know, that's it for that, I guess. I don't know. It was a fun ride.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, and that's it. Like, I mean, the fact that you got a chance to do it, and the fact that you managed, you know, four albums, I mean, it's awesome. And they're wonderful albums. And so I think that, you know, it's great that you've been able to come out of that. And you know, despite the down moments, now you can actually kind of bring it back up again with something that I think is more yours. And
yeah.
And that's probably really important for you too.
It is. You know, I've got, you know, I'm also in the band One Machine. We've recorded a demo a few months back and all that, but because of COVID and everything else going on, you know, that has not come out yet. We'll see when that whole thing happens. But and it's one machine is with Steve Smythe, guitar player, used to be with Testament, Forbidden, Nevermore, great player. Mm-hmm. Jamie Hunt on guitar, drummer and bass player as well. They're over in the UK. Of course, Steve is in California now. But so I've got that going on as well. But right now, Between Worlds is the main focus. And again, I'm very happy with the outcome. I poured my heart and soul into it. I think you can tell when you listen to my voice that, you know, because as a writer, I don't write a lot about chicks and beer, which, you know, has its place. But I'm a little bit more in depth and I kind of write from my heart and my soul. And it really came out in this. And I hope it resonates with people, and especially with people that have had the kind of same thing that I went through. You know, the loss of a loved one. It's not easy to go through that, you know, especially when you are a caregiver for them 24/7 for 3 years. You know, that it took its toll, but I did my due diligence and I did my best to take care of her, and she appreciated it very much. And enough of that as far as that goes.
Well, the opening track is kind of Between Worlds. The opening track is kind of somewhat inspired by that situation, isn't it?
It is. And also past relationships and just, so the songs are not just focused only on that situation. It's all kinds of situations and things that I've been through. And, you know, we all lose people. And let's face it, we're all getting older. We're not 25 anymore. Well, I don't know about you guys.
Nope.
We're not 25, trust me.
Yeah. We wish, right?
Yes.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, you just kind of, you know, you grow up and you learn from your past experiences. And I use those. I put them down on paper. And there are times when I will do something, like I did a record with Peacemaker. We put this band together with a friend of mine, Scott Riff Miller from Tango Down. Great record, but we never had a chance to do anything with it because of the situation that I was in at the time. But there's Big Block, a song called Big Block. I wrote that about NASCAR racing. Never have I done that. So I did my research and this and that, and I wanted to, you know, show something different. But on this one, yeah, there's a lot of touching on that, but basically just a human experience, relationships, tragedies, and things like that.
There's some songs that have a positive bent to them as there well are. That comes across, you know?
Well, I'm glad.
I think that's important for people to know.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that, because I don't want to think people it's all dark and depressing, because it's not. Because when I was singing it, even though I put my emotion into it, I was still happy at the time when I was doing it, you know, because I was very excited. And then, you know, there were some times when I'd look at some lines that I did. I'm like, you know, nah, let me play around with that a little bit more and all that. Because, I, you know, again, I want people to resonate with it, with the music and with the lyrics. And I think we've accomplished that here.
So do you have lyrically, do you have a bunch of songs, a bunch of ideas that you need, that you kind of go, this will fit with this music, this will fit with this? Or does the music itself inspire you when you hear it to write the lyrics?
That's a good question, Martin. I have notebooks from back when I was 18, that I keep in storage and all that with lyrics. But I generally like to start fresh because of what you just said. Once I put the headphones on and I'm listening, you know, and concentrating on the music, that's what inspires me. So generally, that's how it happens. Yeah.
I'm always curious, you know, when do you know to scream at the beginning of a song? I'm like, that always gets me. I love it.
Well, you know, that's a bit 80-ish, you know, but that's where I come. I'm a child of the 80s, just like we are.
Yep.
You know, and that used to happen quite a bit. And, you know, I try not to do that all the time. You know, you want to place them in the right spot. But for me, I go with my gut, and it's the music. You know, there's some songs maybe that I didn't scream at the beginning that I should have, but it's just depending on how the music grabs me.
Now, there's also, you know, you talk about that whole screaming at the top. When your singing, and I'm wondering if this has kind of changed over your career. Like, how much do you try to show off your voice in each song? Like, are you looking for that now, or is it more like you're just using your voice to support the song now?
Well, I've always done both, and I'm sure I'll continue to do that. Because, you got to let the music breathe too. It's like I always say with shredding guitar players. I love it, but that's not what is, unless you're Yngwie, well, that's what he does. So you got to place it in the right spot. Because I could scream throughout every song, but people aren't going to like that. They're going to be like, dude, he screams too much.
Yeah.
Why don't you be more mellow and all that? But I have a lot of emotion in my voice, so I'm very fortunate I'm able to do that. And but yes, I work it both ways, because that way it makes a more well-rounded song, in my opinion.
Well, the emotion, I think, I know that for us, that's really what gets us into music is like Brian Vollmer, the lead singer of Helix, calls them whiskey voices, and you've got that kind of whiskey voice, and for me, like, it conveys emotion so well, and you just feel the music, I think, that much more for me as a fan.
Well, I like his voice. Brian's voice is great. It always has been, and I don't know him, but my friend Gary Borden is actually playing guitar with them now again.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Gary's a great guy, a great player. And but I just that I can't really the only thing I could say about that is that's just my voice. It's just the way it comes out. And to be honest, I've had a lot of people over the years, like when they're talking to me in conversation, and then they hear me sing, afterwards they'll be like, what the hell, dude? The way you sound, it sounded to me like the way you talk, that you're gonna sound, this gravelly kind of what just like what you said. But then I'm hitting the high, clear notes and all of that. So I don't know. It's like I said, it's just we all have our voice, and I think we're all unique.
And you had some vocal training from David Clow, correct? He's just legendary vocal trainer. I mean,
Oh,
so many
yeah.
areas in your area, you know.
David Kyle, the maestro, was a great man. And I've been singing for probably I think it was about 12, 13 years at the time, and just I'll just do it on my own. And then I was running around on stage, and I was like, I need to work on my breath control. So I went and I took about six lessons from him, and he was a wonderful man. If you would have saw all the pictures on his walls of the people that he trained, I mean, he actually even this is going way out there, but he actually even trained the person that gave Barbara Streisand lessons.
Wow.
Now I got to get back to my realm before somebody whips me. But like Layton Staley of Alice in Chains, Anna Nessie Wilson from Heart, Jeff Tate from Queensryche, of course, Terry Young from Rail. I mean, just anybody and everybody in the Seattle area. I mean, it got to the point to where there was an old magazine in Seattle, a free magazine where you'd go to look for bands and musicians, and it was called The Rocket. And it got to the point where the bands, when they were looking for a singer, would say, no maestro students.
Wow.
Well, because they all sounded like that, like Jeff Tate, and a lot of bands were into it and a lot of bands weren't, but so I'm lucky like that, like I said, because I've got still the gravel and I can do pretty much whatever I want to. But
It's strange.
thank you. And he was like I said, he was a good man, and I stuttered my butt off with those tapes, and I lost those. They were cassette tape at the time, and I lost those, unfortunately, during the moves in my life here. But it did me some good for sure.
If we can kind of keep going through the album here, because it is, I think it's just, it is a serious contender with me, at least, for Album of the Year.
Oh,
There's no
wow.
question about it. It's
Yeah, that's thank you, man. That means a lot.
absolutely terrific.
Thanks, Martin. I appreciate it.
So, These Walls, if we could talk about that, that's the second track on it. What's kind of the inspiration
Yeah.
for that one?
Well, it's basically about we all have walls that we put up, and some that we can break down, and others that we just have to live with. So I hope that's a decent explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically what that's about.
Scent of an Angel, that's my second favorite song on the album.
Wow.
Beautiful song.
Such a great song for sure. Damn.
Well, emotion on that. Yeah. I mean, when Alessandro sent that to me, because I'm a fan of ballads, and when I heard that, it brought the emotion out in me. It drew it out. And, there were times that, I'd listen to it and go, okay, I'm not listening to this again for a few days, because it brought the emotion out in myself. And then, when I let a couple close friends just hear a snippet of it, they were very impressed and just said, man, we hope this is going to do well for you. So, and that song is written lyrically partly about the loss of her and the loss of other people. I also lost my sister 6 months later. And so, guys, we live and then we die.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get older, it's just something that we have to go through. We're going to go through it. And it's all on how you, it's just on how you take it. You can either, this is what I've said all along. You got two choices. You can either lie on the couch in the fetal position and suck your thumb and give up and do all kinds of stuff to hide your pain. Or you can put your best foot forward and just, say that, that was horrible, but I'm going to be okay. It sucks that they're gone, but I'm going to soldier on and do the best I can with the time I have left on this earth. That's all you can do.
It's I always think of the quote from Rocky Balboa when he said, it's not whether or not you're going to get hit in this world. It's whether or not you're going to be hit and keep going.
There you go. Yeah.
I always think of it that way. So
that's a great analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. The wisdom of Rocky.
Yeah. Who knew?
You wouldn't expect it there. Yeah.
The Italian stallion.
Yeah, exactly. No Escape is my favorite track.
I think it's probably mine too, although Life Enough for Me and Flip the Script are also close, but
oh cool. I'm right on. Well, No Escape there, as you pointed out, that's the one of the positive ones.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about. Because from a no escape from a world that lets you down. You're gonna deal with stuff. And again, it's on how you deal with it. You can either push on, like a rock star, or you can give up like a puss. And that's not me. So.
No, you're a rock star all the way.
Well, I appreciate that. I worked very hard banging on pots and pans for that.
Well, so you wanted to get in the music industry. Luckily, you had the talent, too.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, because there's some bands I've listened to over the years, like, well, what the heck just happened there? How'd they get signed? But. They ended up getting a fan base, and that's a wonderful thing about music too, because there's a kind of music for everyone, and there's a kind of music for every emotion.
Oh, for sure.
It doesn't matter what time of day it is, So that's the cool thing about it. It's universal.
Well, for sure. And
of course, if you're, go ahead, Brett.
I was going to say like just today, I had put on the Between Worlds video. And my son was in the room, and he's 13. And at the end, he just went into his room and came back, and he was just like, "Who was doing that song?" And so I told him, and he's like, "Oh, I got to add that to my playlist. He's really good."
Wow, 13. That's wow. Okay, that's good to hear.
So it's just like
13 going on 30.
Yeah. So I feel like
most of them are.
Yeah. I'm teaching him well now. It's like, please get into this. Get into the good music. Yes.
Well, there you go. And see, us old guys, we need the young guys to keep us in business.
Yeah, and when you're on stage with TSO, I mean, I know if you sing with them, then you're obviously got to be good. Just when you're on stage with them, just how much talent is surrounding you? It just seems remarkable to me.
Oh, geez, are you kidding me? Everybody's top notch, even down to catering. You know, the hotels, the transportation, but the company itself. It was the best gig that I've ever had, and to be part of that. You know, I started with the last season that they did, that they had done for 13 years with Old City Bar, which was trying for me because, I mean, that's a 9.5 minute song. So it took me a while to learn all the lyrics and everything like that. But to get out there with Joel Hoekstra and just be him and I together and me, I never acted, but I just dove into it. You know, that's all I could do. And then they chose me. They hired me. And then before we actually even went out to start the tour, they had approached me about the spring tour and playing the part of Mephistopheles, because Jeff Scott Soto, he's a great singer, man. He was going to be doing something else, I think Queen Extravaganza or something like that. He's involved in a lot of stuff. And they asked me if I would play the part, if I would like to. You know, and of course I had to play it cool, but in my mind, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, so I'm like, yes, I'll do it. And unfortunately, that was the last season of that tour. And then after that, you know, life changed. I met that person and we started a life together and I kind of backed off and then everything snowballed with the sickness and all that. But anyway, back to TSO, it was like I said, to go out there and sing to a sold-out Coliseum, even when I talk about it, raises a hair on my arms. Absolutely. And it really got to showcase what I can do. And, of course, with playing Mephistopheles, that was two songs and Pyro. And that was phenomenal. And, again, all the musicians, East, West Coast, all of them, I mean, they're all top-notch. They don't hire anybody that's a slouch. Mm-hmm. And so again, I feel very privileged and honored, and I'll look back at that time as one of my best experiences.
And speaking of Joel Hoekstra, of course, he's one of the many talented people that contributed to Between Worlds.
That's right, and the cool guy.
Oh, Joel's awesome, man. You know, that guy, he loves guitar so much. You see Joel an hour or 2 hours before walking around, you know, the backstage area and in the rooms or down the hallway with his practice guitar on, practicing. You know, always. I mean, the guy loves playing guitar and it shows when he plays. That guy can just pump out solos like it's in him. That's it. It's just in him. And he's a friend and he's a sweetheart. He's done a few things for me in the past few years and helped me out, you know, during times of need and everything. And I appreciate the guy very much. He did a kick-ass solo, you know, on Soul Chaser. You know, it was just right to the point and, you know, showing his talent. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, I mean,
and who else do you have joining you on the...
Oh, well, Chris Caffrey and Johnny Lee Middleton. You know, Johnny Lee was the original member of Sabotage and, TSO. Chris came in after in Sabotage but was with them for years and years. And then, of course, in TSO, and both those guys. I mean, I wouldn't ask anybody that was, well, half-assed. And luckily, I got to know these guys and their friends, and they're good guys, man. They're good human beings. And they said sure when I asked them if they wanted to play on a track and No Escape. I mean, it's just it's a great track.
Well, I mean, we love Sabotage. They're one of our all-time favorite bands. So, I mean, these guys are super familiar to us. And what amazing players. What amazing talent that went through that, including Jack Frost.
Of course. Jack did. Yes, Jack's a good guy, man, and a great player. I was very impressed with his playing. He did. He was the main guitar player. As far as the core band, you've got, of course, Alessandro Del Vecchio, Michelle Santa on drums, Pete Alpenborg on guitar and writing with Alessandro, and then Alex Jansen on bass. And Alessandro works with those core guys quite often, and you can tell because they're just tight as a gnat's butt. I'll keep it clean. they're pro, you know. And I was, you know, I was, again, I'm honored that those guys said yes and did such a great job.
One of the things that I'm interested in too, like, I mean, we talked earlier about like the songwriting and stuff, but like, how many songs did Alessandro send? Because one of the things I love about this album is the fact that it's so tight, you know, that it's 11 songs that just come in really tight, and it just, it's like that great, you know, almost like a punch in the face, and then it walks away, you know, without overstaying its welcome. Let's just say.
Well, that's good to know, because that's one thing that when things just keep droning on and on, you lose their interest. So as far as the amount of songs with Alessandro and Pete Alpenborg, those guys are a great writing team, and you don't really have to have many, but I think it was probably maybe 14, 15 tracks. And that was it. But that's kind of general for a record. Well, some bands do 20, 21, 25, 30, or say they've done that many. I don't know. But it was about 14 or 15 tracks, I believe. And then, you know, we talked about it and went from there. And again, we've got a very, very good outcome from this.
Do you have any live performances upcoming?
Not as of right now. I'm putting something together in Rhode Island. I'll be moving here in a few days back there. I'm living in North Carolina at the moment. But I'm putting together a band with some notable players. And it's going to be a mixed bag, as I call it, of songs I've done with Metal Church. Some Between Worlds, some of my solo stuff. And but yes, we are working on getting back out there. And, you know, when the world calms down with this COVID crap, I hope it does. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll make it easier to travel. And then I know that Alessandro and I have talked about, you know, at some point putting something together to where I can go over there and play with those guys and go out and do some shows.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I traveled to Europe to see that.
Wow, man. Okay. Well, I'll make sure, Martin, that I get my ass over there and we'll do something.
I mean, it would be easier for us to travel to the U.S. Don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah.
We're from Canada, so you got to, that's not so far, right?
Well, it's like 16-hour flight or something like that. But hey, when you're going to play in front of people and all that, doesn't matter.
That's you know? Right.
When you're tired, you're doing the zombie sleep thing, as I call it. You know, once you get there and you do the hurry up and wait, as we call it, you know, sound check and just standing around and, you know, and this and that. Once you get on stage, that makes it all worth it for that hour, hour and a half that you're up there. The adrenaline rush and just seeing the smiles, meeting the fans, you know, signing whatever, taking pictures. That's what it's all about.
And what is the largest crowd you've played in front of?
Well, I think it was Wacken, 2004. Yeah. You know, that Gods of Wrath video, me doing Gods of Wrath, of course, has got quite a few hits over the years. And I think that was, well, there was about 60,000 there at that time that year. But I think there was like 30,000 watching us. Or I'm not exactly sure, but there was a lot, you know, it was the biggest crowd I'd ever played for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Coliseums generally, you know, I don't know if they hold like 60,000, but, like for TSO, but you know, I played for some pretty big crowds, man, but I think Wacken was the biggest.
That's gotta be a real kick in the
ass.
Yeah. Yeah. For that many people.
Oh yeah, it is, man. Well, again, it raises a hair on your arms because you know, I remember being there and the reaction of the fans and the autograph lines and it was something that you live for. And again, when you're doing something that other people like, that's a rush in itself. You know, it makes me smile. So.
Yeah, when you see, like, I actually watched a video of Manowar, I think, playing at Wacken, and you just see all the people in the audience are singing along with the band, and it's like, I can't fathom what that must be like.
Well, it's a lot of fun is what it is. It's very exciting. I mean, your adrenaline just goes through the roof. And Man of War, I've always been a fan, you know, and yeah, they do that anthemic stuff and people love that. And they're a great band. You know, Joey, great bass player, Eric, what's his last name? Well, anyway, the singer, I've had a few people over the years actually say, well, you sound like the guy from Man of War. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to piss on that. You know, I take it as a huge compliment. He's got a great voice.
Oh.
You know, so, yeah, it's just the whole thing turns me on, basically, guys. You know, it's the whole thing, being on stage, recording, writing, that's what I live for.
What are some of the differences between touring with a band like TSO, touring with Metal Church, touring with some of the other bands that you've played for?
The difference? Well,
besides the crowds,
well, it's the budget too, and all that. And there's times where you travel in a van with a trailer. Then you step up to an RV with a trailer. Then you step up to a bus with a trailer. So, you know, it all depends on, you know, what the tour is going to make. You've got a budget, so you got to meet that to get out there. And, you know, even with Metal Church, we did some tours and some dates that we probably shouldn't have done a few dates, but we did anyway because we were out there and the fans wanted us to, and that made us want to. So that's basically the difference. But it's still, regardless of what you're traveling in or what hotel you're staying in or what you can afford to eat and not afford to eat, it's about the music. And if you love what you do in any job, well, then you're just going to put your best foot forward and do your best. And that's what I've always tried to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll always.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And of course, back to Between Worlds, because that's
yes.
the opening single was Between Worlds, the No Escape, that's the other one you mentioned, was the other single. Is there plans for a third single? Is Scent of an Angel going to be out there?
Well, I don't think there's plans for that one to come out as a single, but there is one more on release day that I can't mention, but okay. Something else will come out, one more single. And then after that, we just got to promote the best we can and see how we do with it. You know,
do you like making music videos?
Yeah, I do. You know, it can be, you know, a little arduous at times, depending on how many times they say, stop, that sucked, start over, you know, or whatever. Yeah, but no, because it's all part of the creative process. And, you know, this day and age, you've got to do as much promo as you can, you know, because as we all know, I won't go on downloading spree and everything about that. People stealing music and that is what it is. And we just have to combat it the best we can, in my opinion. And that's by doing promo, staying visible, and just putting out the best possible music you can.
I'm glad you like making the videos. I remember Jeff Tate just going, hate making music videos.
Yeah, well, look, it's not my favorite thing to do. I'd rather be recording a song or writing some lyrics. But, you know, like I said, it's all part of the process. But then after that, when you see the end result, and the video crew that Frontiers has one of the video crews that they have that did my video or Between Worlds video, I thought turned out amazing.
I was very
pleased with that. And the whole subject matter, the storyline behind it, I thought they did a great job. You know, they sent over what they were thinking and asked my opinion. And I was just like, that sounds cool. Just go for it. You know, cause I don't sit and nitpick a lot of stuff. I'm not like that. Is I like to let people, the ones that know what they're doing, and I know that they know what they're doing, you know, I like to have their input. Because that way they're more vested in creating something great.
How much of the business do you take care of, I mean, when it comes to yourself?
Well, you know, I have Ronnie Monroe Music, but it's, you know, that's kind of my thing. I do need to go incorporate it and whatnot, but I still haven't done that for obvious reasons with everything going on the last few years. But now things are back on track, and so I will be doing that. And I usually handle my own stuff. I, you know, I've had a couple managers, but, you know, basically there's a term called fanager.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I had. And they meant well, but it was kind of a mistake on my part to let that happen. So with me now coming back out with this record and more to come, I'm hoping, well, then I will in the future look for some management to handle all that stuff for me. So, but yeah, I'm pretty competent in being able to handle, you know, the money side of it. So, well,
we're getting awfully close to our allotted time with you here.
Yes.
So I just want to let you know how happy I am you're back out there. And it sounds like we're going to be hearing more from you in the months and years to come. And it's, you know, I'm looking forward to every bit of it.
Thank you, guys. Brett and Martin, it's been a pleasure. I do appreciate the time, and I'm really stoked you guys like the record this much. That has made my day. So I'll be available anytime after when you guys want to talk, do another interview. Just let me know. And purchase that record, man, unless you get it for free.
Where can they keep up with you?
You can go to my Facebook. Of course, Ronnie Monroe Facebook. There's Ronnie Monroe Music, which you should go to that. There's Instagram and Twitter. So, and also if you go to my Ronnie Monroe Music page, there's constant updates every day about the record coming out and different pictures. And again, just promoting the best that we can. So that's where you can find me.
Now, is awesome. This one coming out on vinyl? Are they putting this one there?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. Being the first record that I've done now with them, again, I'm not sure. So, I don't know if that would depend on sales or what, but that is something that I look forward to because I've only been on one vinyl in my career, and that was Metal Church Generation Nothing.
Wow. Yeah.
So everything else has been CD. So, and of course, being older and everything, vinyl is the key, and I just bought classic turntable and receiver and old speakers and started collecting vinyl just the last month. So it would be nice to put my own record on and listen to it like I did when I was a little kid. That would be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's funny because I've been doing the same thing, just getting into collecting vinyl. And besides the fact that I love the sound quality, but yeah, I've been telling people how great it is to be able to just sit down and listen to music, because that's all you're doing is you just want to sit down and listen to music.
Yeah, you're not grazing through it. It's like an event.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, it's special. You put that vinyl on and you go back in time. For me, at least, you know.
For sure, so. For sure. And it's beautiful. I mean, you get the nice big artwork. Because I know that you know, when we were kids, we would sit there, even with the cassette tapes or whatever. And I would just sit, listen to music, and read the liner notes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. I want to know who the general manager is. You know, I want to know who the head roadie is,
yeah.
You know, who sets up the drums. You know, I wanted to know everything about it because that's how much into music I was and the bands.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking one day if I make it, you know, I'm going to be around all that. So, you know, I need to know what's up. I don't want to look like a dumbass. A greenhorn, I should say.
Yeah.
But and there was a couple times when I did a first couple gigs with Metal Church, you know, that I probably did because I actually asked the headlining act to strike their drums for us.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. The road manager came up and was like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, well, I don't have any room to move. And he's like, that's not how it works, dude. So that's a little story for you.
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's the
look he gave me. The look he gave me, I'll never forget. That Chef James, the road manager, was his name. And that was a great guy, too. But anyway, guys, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, appreciate all the support.
Well,
we hope to talk to you again in the future for sure.
And we wish you
so much fun.
Nothing but the best. You know, wonderful voice, wonderful talent. And it's a great album. And I urge everybody to go out and listen to it.
All right, buddy. And Brett, tell your son, what's his name?
His name is Tristan.
Tristan, tell him that I said hello and that I'm very happy that he likes my songs.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ronnie. You're a great guy, and we do look forward to talking to you again.
All right, guys. Peace.
All right. Bye now.
Thank you.